Hello, hello, and welcome to the very first Beyond the Panels podcast.
Yay!
We are your hosts, Evan.
And I'm Andy.
And we are here to talk about all things nerdy. Now, we just recently got back from New York Comic Con.
Where we survived Ebola.
We are in perfect health, which is awesome because we have so much to talk about. We got to talk to the cast of Black Dynamite, Gotham, Mike Tyson Mysteries, and Constantine. And if you thought that the cast of Black Dynamite is absolutely crazy, you might be wrong.
Oh, I don't go to work looking like this, honey. I'm in my pajamas.
I'm totally kidding. They're absolutely nuts. And you find out a little bit later why Erin Richards had this to say when I talked to her about Gotham.
Easter eggs! No, that's not what they are, Erin.
I swear it makes total sense when I'm talking to her. But first, we have this week's TV wrap-up.
And we're going to start with The Walking Dead.
I love it.
Oh my God, you know what? I cannot get enough of this show. And consistently, every single season, it breaks new records. It broke its own record from last year by 1 million viewers.
I don't even know 5 people outside of us.
Okay, seriously, everyone loves this show. And in this new season, we're going to see so many different things. In this new episode, it was called Strangers. We saw two things, two real big key points. One being the new walkers. Greg Nicotero told us that he loves to have what they call a hero walker. Mm-hmm. And the hero walker is going to be somebody that may be on fire. The hero walker from this episode was the walkers that were in the basement, the ones that had been living in water.
Those nasty looking ones.
Okay, so imagine you're taking a bath for 30 minutes, you know, whatever. You know what your skin looks like, that pruny, nasty, gross feeling that it gets?
Yeah.
Imagine being dead and walking around as a zombie in water. The skin was just falling off and it was so gross and disgusting. The other key point that we saw in this episode is normally in all the other seasons past, we've always been afraid of people. You know, everybody's in their groups. Everybody's segmented off because you can't trust anybody. In this season, you can't only trust people, but they will eat you.
That last scene got me.
Okay, so this season, these people are actually hunting Rick's group of people. In the last scene of Strangers, they not only knocked one of the members out, but they chopped off his leg and ate it in front of them.
That last episode was just hard to stomach. Now, moving on to Gotham, which is one of my new favorite shows this fall. This episode was called Viper. And in the very opening scene, you have a guy giving a guitar homeless man a vial of green liquid. And my first thought when I saw it was Venom, which alluded to our favorite villain, Bane.
Yeah, and there were a lot of things in this episode that really, really kind of pointed in one direction that they didn't quite take it like I wanted them to.
What were you expecting? What did you want?
I was hoping that the kid playing the guitar, I was really hoping that he would actually become Bane.
The thing is, you can't roll that out so quickly. So, I mean, it's obviously they're starting to build things up. Bruce is starting to see that his family may have been involved in some sketchy stuff. But I think my favorite part of the episode is the very end, and I'm sorry if this is spoiling anything for anybody, but when they discover the warehouse and it's absolutely empty because it's been cleared out.
The thing that gets me about any show like this, I really wish they would give a little bit more at the end.
Well, the thing is,
leave something in that lab.
That whole situation made me think, like, I bet they're making more than just Venom. Like, they probably are making the fear toxin. And then as soon as I thought that, I even said it out loud, as soon as I said that, the preview for next week's episode comes out, and I don't know if it's him, but it looks like Scarecrow's in the next episode.
Okay, the thing, I really highly doubt that it's going to be the Scarecrow, only because if they're not going to introduce somebody like Bane this early in, then why would they introduce somebody like the Scarecrow?
I don't know. They have so much to work with. It'll be nice to see where they go. On Tuesday, we got to watch The Flash, which is another one of my favorite new shows. I have too many new favorite shows.
I'm still kind of on the fence of The Flash.
I thought you would like it because it's very similar to Smallville.
It's really similar to Smallville. Really, really similar to Smallville. But I feel like that's the part that's getting me because Smallville had its time. And now the CW has progressed so far from Smallville because Smallville was really campy and, you know, they had fun with it. Let's just say that. They had fun with it. I just feel like The Flash isn't necessarily as dark as it should be.
The thing that I like about The Flash, though, is that it had the elements of Smallville that I liked, the kind of lighthearted, fun, Midwestern type of feel. But this one has the elements of Arrow where it gives you little bits here and there to make you, like, excited about the next episode. Like, my favorite one in this episode, when Caitlin was talking about her ex, who is played by Robbie Amell, and we all know ends up becoming Firestorm, she was talking about how people describe their relationship as being like fire and ice, and he's Firestorm and she's Killer Frost. So that's good writing.
But again, it goes back to taking it back to Smallville when, like, again, Smallville had its time. I was a huge Smallville fan. I loved the show, and I still do. But I think that where the CW is right now, if The Flash had to stand on its own two feet without the Arrow...
Oh, I don't know how it would do.
I don't think it would do very well.
I mean, we'll see. It's only episode 3, is it? So it has a lot of room to go. And they haven't done the crossover episodes, so I'm holding out till then.
This isn't going to be an awkward segue at all. Speaking of shows that don't necessarily have the feet to stand on their own and that need to be tied into other things as far as crossovers, let's talk about Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I want to love the show, but I don't.
You know what? You're not the only one. I think that everybody that watches this show feels the same way. And the one thing that keeps people holding on is, I said this last year with the first season, it was really slow until Captain America came out.
Bum-ba-da, saved the day.
As soon as Captain America came out, it saved the day because now the show made sense. It tied into the movie. It all worked. But now, starting in the new season, you don't have a movie to tie it to. Now they're just like, they're really alluding to certain things. You know, they have the Diviner, they have the alien DNA, where it could be the Inhumans, it could be something completely different.
Well, you know what it is they are trying to make it the precursor to Age of Ultron. They're wanting you to watch because they want you to know what leading up to Ultron.
I know, and people have said that, you know, last season it was, you know, the show was on its own and it didn't really fit together until Captain America came out, because Captain America was what reset the actual TV show and made it make sense. And people are saying that this season, you know, you've got the show on its own, and what it's going to do is it's going to kind of be a prequel to the movie. That's a lot of time to spend on a TV show that I don't necessarily think is going to make it. Although, the only redeeming quality is this season's a little darker, and the fight scenes are amazing.
Well, now that they introduced Mockingbird, it regained a little bit for me, because that was the one thing that it was missing, was a real hero.
All I know is the fight scenes get me all the time. Agent May, one of the last episodes we saw, she goes up and flips on a table and smashes a girl's head. Oh God, it was amazing.
May smash.
You know what? It was seriously amazing. I had to back it up multiple times. But I really want to love the show. But we'll see if it can actually make itself walk.
Hopefully. Speaking of Mockingbird, the Arrow has their own version, which is Black Canary, who just recently died. Womp womp.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about that, because that was the most violent death I've ever seen.
It could have been in Walking Dead. That's how violent it was.
That's the most violent death that I've ever seen in Arrow.
But now in the show, they're moving past it. In this show, they quickly deal with the fact that she died. And her own sister decides she's going to go out and try to kick ass like her sister, who'd been trained for years and years and years, in the process gets her ass kicked.
Well, here's the thing about this. Here's the thing. And this is what it's been bouncing in my head, because they have completely skirted past this whole, like, she was shot in the chest and she fell and cracked her head and you saw it. Blood was everywhere on the street and her sister sees it. And just anyway, they skirted past it so much. Either it's going to end up being a complete flashback for 3 episodes or 2 episodes, or something behind the scenes that we may not even know about, because I don't know whether it was an actor dispute or contract dispute. I don't know. That's a major character to kill off in a way like that without even really addressing it.
Well, the thing is, in the comics, we all knew that Laurel was supposed to be Black Canary. So now that Black Canary has been knocked off and Laurel now meets Wildcat in the boxing ring, it could lead to her being Black Canary.
Okay, well, and my other issue with this episode was, first of all, if that truly is Wildcat, Wildcat in the comic books has about, I would say, 100 pounds and about 15 years on who's playing it in the TV show.
I would say
show.
More than 15. He was like in his 50s. He trained Batman.
Yes, I mean, if it truly is Wildcat and that's the way they're going with it, you know, hey, it is what it is. It's still a good show. I still love it, but I really, that's a big leap.
I just have to say that I'm happy that Thea, who they're now calling Mia, is back and she's kicking ass. So I'm excited about that.
What I take away from all of this is, with Arrow, Gotham, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is they've gotten really dark, which I love.
Now it's time for our top 5 nerdy news stories. I'm sure everyone's been seeing it, but It seems like every single day, Marvel is announcing some comic book event that's going to be happening in summer of 2015. I have a list here of all the ones they've announced so far. We have Civil War, Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies, Years of Future Past, Planet Hulk, Armor Wars, House of M, The Infinity Gauntlet, Old Man Logan, Inhumans, Attilan Rising, and End of Ultimate. So it just seems like they're taking all of their old comics and just bringing them back.
Marvel has done a really good job of rebooting the superhero genre for us in movies. I will say this, and I will go on record by saying this, I am a DC guy. I love Batman, Superman.
See, the thing is, Marvel has characters. They're great characters. But I have a hard time trusting Marvel now because they're making so much money off their movies. I just feel like every single thing is leading up to the next film.
They do know how to market themselves. I will give them that. I mean, there is a plan for it. They are this big money-making machine now, and they're part of Disney. And
that's the thing. They're Disney.
You know what? And I love Disney, and don't take this the wrong way. But if you've ever been to Disney, you will understand what I'm talking about. No one on this planet can be that happy all the time.
Well, at least the movies are getting darker.
The movies are getting darker, and I do like the fact that Disney's not really taking it the vanilla route. They're keeping it darker. It's pushing the boundaries of as far as violence and things like that. But I really am not sure how much longer I can trust Marvel.
My favorite thing that I saw in reaction to it was somebody posted a meme of Regina George from Mean Girls, and it said, "Stop trying to make Planet Hulk happen."
Oh, God, no. If Marvel can actually pull off a Hulk film, that works, then you have my vote. You have my vote.
Well, you heard it here first.
If for what it's worth, you have it, and there you go. One of the next things we're going to talk about is, and like I said, I love DC. I'm a true DC guy. But the return of Damian Wayne.
I'm on the fence about this one because I love Damian Wayne. I thought he was an amazing Robin. I was kind of hoping they'd go in a different direction. And
They did. They went in the direction of Superboy. Because, okay, if you don't know what we're talking about right now, Damian Wayne is allegedly bulletproof, which means they're alluding to that he has his own powers now. The whole wonderful thing about Batman and the Boy Wonder was they didn't have superpowers.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I won't pass any judgment until January.
You know what? There's a really old argument about who would win, Superman or Batman.
Well, now that Damian is both Superman and Batman, I think he takes the cake.
No. because once you become bulletproof and once you start donning Superboy or Superman's powers, you are Superboy or Superman just in a different costume. Let's just put that out there.
Okay, well, enough about comics. Let's move on to video games.
Yay!
Now, now, Nintendo just had their Nintendo Direct announcement, and it was called the 50 Fact Extravaganza for the Super Smash Brothers on Wii U. And it turns out there are actually 53 facts, and I felt like I wasted like half an hour of my life just watching the video. But the major things that I got from it is that there's a ton of new stages. They have a new mode that's like kind of like Mario Party meets Super Smash Brothers. You can have 8 people playing at one time, which I don't know how that's going to work because that's going to be, your characters are going to be tiny. You better have a big old television because I don't see that playing out very well.
How would you manage to put that many players on one screen?
Well, the thing is, you can't do it online, so it's not like you can play with 7 random people. You actually have to have 7 friends. I don't have that many friends that play Super Smash Brothers.
Well, yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Besides, that's a lot of people to get in one room playing one video game. I don't think I've ever been able to get that many people in one room playing one video game.
Everyone gets distracted by something, whether it's food or a TV show's on or just a butterfly outside the window.
And I'm just putting this out there. If there are that many people in one room playing video games, there are other things involved, and I'm pretty sure food is going to become a big factor at some point. If you know what I mean, I'm not going to say it out loud.
That's a big basement. That's what I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last big thing that they did announce, that Mewtwo will be joining the party, but that won't be ready until next year.
I will have to say that juvenile, as some of my friends call it, that Pokemon is. I do love Pokemon because I would love to live in the Pokemon world.
It would be pretty awesome.
I would really love to live in the Pokemon world. But anyway, back in this world, we're going to start talking about dun 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 Age of Ultron. Okay, so in the trailer, you know what? I love James Spader, and
his voice sounds amazing.
James Spader is like, to me, he's like James Earl Jones. Like, he could just start talking, and it just all makes sense. Mm-hmm. And the world is right again. Okay, going back to the Disney thing, the one thing I love the trailer, the movie. I'm sure, like, without anything else needing to be said, I'm sure the movie will be absolutely phenomenal. The one thing I didn't like about the trailer was the Disney at the end. So I'm just going to point this out for anybody listening that has not or does not know what I'm talking about. They start playing a song, and Ultron says, "I am free. There are no strings on me."
And if you don't know, that's from Pinocchio, which is a Disney property, and they're mixing it all together. The thing is, they made it their own, and I think not everybody knows that, so it's kind of cool. My favorite aspect of the whole trailer leaking everything is Marvel's reaction on Twitter. They just said, "Damn it, Hydra."
I do not think that that was an accident.
I don't either. I think it was planned.
It's a PR stunt.
Well, the thing is, they recovered so quickly and said, "You know what? The trailer leaked. You guys have seen it. Here it is in HD. To make up for it, here comes a full scene that we're going to air during the next Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you're not watching already, you have to watch it because you want to see the scene."
And every geek in the world's mind just went poof.
I'll just stop talking about Marvel for right now. And I will continue to talk about Warner Brothers and DC because I'm so excited. I mean, outside of the 10+2 movies that they announced with all the Justice League and individual Superman Batman movies, the one thing that they just announced that I'm really excited about is they're going to have online live-action series for Static Shock, who I love, and Mortal Kombat. Now, Mortal Kombat is leading up to the release of Mortal Kombat X, the game, which is super violent and super fun.
Nobody really expected people to like Static Shock as much as they did.
I know.
I mean, he was that random cartoon that was on a Saturday morning that just came out of nowhere, and yeah,
Everybody loved it.
Everybody loved it. And next thing you know, he's doing crossovers into the TV show or into
Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
He's in the future all of a sudden. And the other thing that they just had was Jeff Johns, who is the head creative director over at DC, said that when it comes to the TV universe and the film universe, they're existing in the multiverse. So don't rule out that there could be a crossover between TV and movies, to which Stephen Amell went straight to Facebook, which he loves to do, and I love him for that, and said, "I think 23 episodes trumps a feature film. I think Grant Gustin is the 2014 MVP of the DC universe, and I think the feature film world would benefit greatly from our inclusion, so I'm glad the door has been left ajar."
I love Stephen Amell.
I do too, and I think he's
not only just because he's just fun to look at, but
he's a good sport about everything, and he gets it.
Yeah, and the one thing I do like about him, honestly, all jokes aside, is that he really he doesn't seem to take anything too seriously. He does his job, and he does his job very well. But everything else, it doesn't need to be taken seriously. He has fun with it. That's the one thing I like. The one thing that I am concerned about, though, is DC does not have a great track record with movies. I don't want to start pointing things out, but things like Superman Returns or the first Green Lantern.
I will say, though, that I'm very hopeful with this series of movies that are coming out with, and I do not think they should include anyone from the TV universe in it. I think it will just distract from what the product is.
You know what? I don't necessarily agree. I think that if it's done at the right time and in the right way, that a crossover from the TV to the TV world and into the movie world, it would be a good thing. It just has to be done at the right time and at the right place. And right now, I think that DC should not really focus on doing things like that. They should actually just focus on making a good movie, which they, I mean, again, Man of Steel was great. Man of Steel was great. I think that it had a lot of things in the end scene that, or the end of the movie that didn't need to be there, but it was great, and I am so happy that Superman is back on the big screen. But really, I think that people need to focus on actually making a good film first and a good series of films before they start talking about introducing TV into film.
I think that was Marvel's big mistake, but that's another story.
That's a whole other story by itself.
Well, now it's time to move on to our fun at New York Comic Con.
And kicking off our coverage of New York Comic Con is Black Dynamite.
Love it.
It's my new favorite show, and if you haven't seen it, you have to watch it. It comes on Adult Swim, and if you don't know what Adult Swim is, it's the shows on Cartoon Network that aren't necessarily child-friendly. So just keep that in mind if you're going to have kids or anybody around. But when we were in New York for New York Comic Con, we sat down with Michael J. White, who's the voice of Black Dynamite, and Byron Menz, who's the voice of Bullhorn. And I really wanted to talk to them to find out, what's the difference about doing a show on Adult Swim versus doing another voice for a show on Cartoon Network?
It spoils you, because I can't imagine doing this anywhere else. I mean, with the freedom that Adult Swim gives you. I mean, it's just like this. Like I said, it spoils you.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Laszlo and everyone involved at Adult Swim, they're the best when it comes to, you know, supporting the creative process.
If you ever went from Adult Swim to voicing just a regular cartoon now, you would feel a little restrained from the script.
Yeah, I would think, especially a project like this. I mean, this is for Black Dynamite. This is the only place that we could be, really.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be like Black Firecracker or something. You know what I mean? It just couldn't be the same.
I love that he said Black Firecracker.
These two guys are really great and really calm and reserved. The other two cast members that we talked to, Tommy Davidson.
Not so much.
Yeah. Tommy Davidson and Kim Whitley. I actually tried to ask the same thing from them, and
Not as much luck getting the answer out.
Yeah, no, you know what? Here's what it got.
How do you two manage to get work done in a studio?
We don't. We get in trouble a lot.
How do you manage to voice the whole show?
I think one of the things about Black Diamond that I really like is that...
That's not funny. What is that? You got the bola? Stop it.
No. No, we have a good time. It's like this. You know, you got Carl Jones, Michael Jai White, you know, Byron Mins, you got her. I mean, you put us in that hair.
Oh, I don't go to work looking like this, honey. I'm in my pajamas. See, that's the thing about voiceover. You can go anywhere you want to.
This is just a deluxe pair of pajamas.
That's right, deluxe.
Bam, bam. I know a place. Do, 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 do. Ain't nobody crying now. Do, 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 do. Ain't nobody worried, y'all.
That was just a little sample of that kind of stuff we'd be doing.
I think it's funny that when that happened, like, everyone's interviews stopped. Like, they were talking to the rest of the cast from some of the other Adult Swim shows, and everyone had to pause and look at them while they were doing this little back and forth performance.
Yeah, everybody was sitting there. It's like some people were doing round tables, others were doing interviews on the carpet, and everyone stopped, and it was just little concert.
It was a little nuts. Yeah, we'll give it that.
I don't know how they get any work done, but you know what? The cast is great. Michael J. White, Tommy Davidson, Byron Menz, and Kim Whitley, they are an amazing cast. If you haven't seen Black Dynamite,
you have to.
You have to watch it. It premiered on October 18th on Adult Swim. It's on every Saturday. This is a second season, and if you haven't seen the first season, go to adultswim.com and you've got to watch it.
Binge watch it.
I was going to say, it's like a binge watch of like Scandal.
Now, also while we were in New York, I got to talk to the cast of Gotham, which is like one of my new favorite shows, which I already mentioned, but I was so excited. I just couldn't contain it.
I think it's everybody's new favorite show. It's like, it's the best of both worlds. You've got a crime drama, kind of sort of superheroes, not just yet though.
It's got everything. If you want it, they have it, unless you want Batman because he's not there yet. But I got to ask Sean Pertwee, who plays Alfred, Ben McKenzie, who plays Gordon, and Donald Logue, who plays Bullock, exactly if they're aware of like all the little things that go into the show.
The DC universe is gigantic, and the show is injected with Easter eggs and tributes and things like that. Are you even aware of like some of the things that come up on our screens?
I'm getting quite good. David and I are getting quite good at it, actually. There's things like Tommy Elliot, which is Hush. There's characters will pop up, names will pop up, but then they send you curveballs as well. So you got to really be on your top game.
Sometimes I'm not, and it takes someone pointing them out, someone who's more versed in the comics to point them out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is like you said. It's chock full of them, and they surprise you. And each time we get a new script and we sit down at our table read, there are surprises galore, you know, and I think that's going to be really fun for the fans to see that stuff.
I'm aware of a good number of them, and partially because we discuss them and things too, and of course big things like Arkham that were winked at and become very important were things that are fairly well known, but there are things I'm discovering, and what it makes me feel like too is that, oh, Bruno Heller and the writing team, that they took a long time to beat this story out.
You were talking to them about Easter eggs, and I'm pretty good at spotting, I think, most of these things, but I think I'm clued into pretty much all the little things that happen through it that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good. I got that. But there are so many things that people point out to me that I'm like, I completely missed that.
I know a lot of them because Batman's like my favorite series, but I still go on online after every episode and see what everybody has to say online.
It's funny going back to my whole like Smallville addiction when it was actually on. I'm a huge Superman fan and Superman is like my go-to, but I was like that with Smallville, how I could watch with a group of people and that were into comics and into Superman and they're like, oh, I got it. I'm like, did you get this? Like when they talked about this person and they're like, no, I didn't. Oh my God.
And you're like, noob.
And yeah, sometimes it was kind of annoying because I'm like, why are you asking that right now?
Now, the only thing I have to say about that last clip, though, is if you didn't notice, Sean Pertwee said that there's going to be Hush in the series. And I'm not sure he was really supposed to say that, but now you know. So be on the lookout. Tommy Elliott is in the show. But when I talked to the rest of the cast about this exact same question, I have to say my favorite response was from Aaron Richards, who plays Barbara Keene in the show.
I'm not aware, to be honest. Like, I'm a Batman fan in that I love all the films and stuff, but I'm not so good with the Easter eggs. So, yeah, I get them pointed out to me. Ben always points them out to me when we're doing stuff. Oh. And I used to think Easter eggs were, like, literal Easter eggs.
I did, too.
That would be hiding, right? That they were putting actual chocolate Easter eggs around the place. And I was like, ooh.
You were, like, walking around set, like, where are they?
Easter eggs. No, that's not what they are, Aaron. So, yeah, I got embarrassed by that pretty early on.
It's okay. We all thought it.
Thank you.
The one thing I wanted to know is, did she really think, like, the Cadbury Bunny was walking around, like, popping off chocolate eggs?
I think she thought that it was, like, an inside joke that you would leave Easter eggs around the set, because that's what I thought it was. Like, I swear to God, I thought when I first heard that there were Easter eggs and things, I was like, why would you put, like, Easter eggs around? Is it, like, supposed to be, like, an insider thing where you, like, have to look for the Easter eggs? But well, now the more you know.
Hey guys, if you do want to take a look at any of the interviews that we have on our show, you can go to our YouTube page at Beyond the Panels, and you can see all of our videos there, as well as more in-depth videos that we couldn't fit into our show.
Now, you will most definitely want to go and look at this next interview, because he's a fan favorite. Everybody is loving Robin Lord Taylor, who is playing Oswald Cobblepot. And when I asked him about the Easter eggs and the tributes, this is what he said.
You know, I don't know what's going to happen beyond, like, the episode that we're shooting, really. Yeah. Like we get the scripts, like, right before we start a new episode, which, you know, like, there's part of you that wants to know the whole thing, you know? You want to know where it's going, but at the same time, like, I kind of prefer it because then, like, I'm coming at it with a fresh perspective, just in the same way the character is, too. So in that way, it's, like, it makes it a little bit more real for me, you know? Yeah. Like we're both kind of going through it, you know, which is exciting. And then, like, yeah, and then I'll see something where it's, like, I have an umbrella, you know? It's like, oh, okay, yes, this is exciting, you know? And, like, and then it's, like, yeah, and then as a cast, like, we will, like, speculate because we don't know anything. We'll be, like, so that guy who was on that episode and then there, could he be? You know what I mean? Like, it's really exciting.
For me, the most interesting part about that interview is that he has mannerisms like his character, and so it's so believable, and I really just see him as Oswald Cobblepot, this, like, younger version of him.
It's funny because there was something that I read recently online about the fact that it may not necessarily be Oswald Cobblepot.
I don't want to believe it.
I know, but you know what? He does play a great Oswald Cobblepot, except he's not that short, fat, pointy-nosed penguin that we're so familiar with.
People need to get over it.
But, it could be a really, really big twist if all of a sudden, because think about it, he's supposed to be dead. It's not going to take long for Fish Mooney to realize that he's not dead, so he's got to figure out a way to make that happen. And if he can pay off some fat, pointy-nosed kid that wants to idealize the penguin that much to become Oswald Cobblepot, he could become
dun-dun-dun-dun-dun
the Joker.
No. I don't want it. I don't want it.
Well, keeping on the theme of crime fighting, while we were in New York, I sat down with a legend. I was actually a little scared.
That's why I told you I wanted you to do
it. The thing is people won't see this because it's not on our interviews and we didn't get it on camera, but everybody that has interviewed him before I got up there, you could just see they were a little bit scared, a little bit nervous and intimidated.
If you haven't figured it out, we're talking about Mike Tyson.
Okay, you will want to go online, watch the video. I am a little intimidated at first when I walk up to him, but he actually is a really nice guy. I'm not going to lie to you. And he's been in video games. He's written a book. He's been on Broadway. He's done so many things.
He's done it all.
And now he is a cartoon hero. I'm talking about Mike Tyson Mysteries. He plays a little super sleuth similar to Scooby-Doo or... Mm-hmm. You know, one of those old 70s cartoons that I
you
can't think
of
right now.
You know what it is. It's Mr. T.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It is Mr. T. It's Mr. T and the Junkyard Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Except for it's Mike Tyson with his pigeons.
Yeah, there's no... Okay, so first of all, there's no mohawk. And second of all, there is a face tattoo.
There is the face tattoo.
So which is more badass, face tattoo or mohawk?
For me, the more badass part is him talking to the pigeons.
Yeah, there's weird pigeons in this. But I really wanted to find out from Mike Tyson what it was like being a cartoon now and not necessarily being recognized as a prize fighter.
In a million years you couldn't tell me in the year 2014 Mike Tyson would be on a whole new schedule and a whole new map. I went to a school in Stockton, California. So I went to a ninth grade class to talk. And when I went there, it was a big 10x6 screen of me while I was fighting because the kids said, no, the actor Mike Tyson, the comedian, and they never saw me fight before. So the guy said, no, this is what he did right here. This is what he's really known. And none of them had any idea who I was. They said, no, the actor, yeah, we saw him in the movies. He's awesome. He's funny. He got a cartoon coming out. I saw the trailer. But they had no idea who I was as a fighter. And that put a lot in perspective. It's very humbling. When you think you're this larger-than-life character, and then you see around 400 kids like, no, who?
Boxer what?
Yeah, had no idea who I was. I said, what?
That's such a shame to me because he was an amazing athlete. Now people just know him for being Mike Tyson.
I know. One of the things that he said that people referenced him as is the actor
from The Hangover.
From The Hangover is one of the things that people recognize him from is not as a boxer anymore, but as an actor from The Hangover, which is kind of weird. But the other thing I wanted to talk to him about is I wanted to find out what it's like having somebody come up to you and say, you know what, we want to have you as a cartoon.
So when they came to you with this project, what was your first thought? What was the first thought in your mind?
Well, I thought they were the cops. A couple of white guys came to my house unannounced. I didn't know what the hell I did. So then, of course, my wife explained the situation, who they were, and I didn't want to do no cartoon. I didn't think it was going to be a good job. And as I was saying, I saw the rough copy, and it was dynamite.
I can totally see that like happening. Like, I can totally see him open the door being suspicious.
Well, first of all, how do you think those two guys felt? Two white guys rolling up to Mike Tyson's house. He doesn't know what they're going to be there for. That's got to be a little scary.
Or imagine, like, after telling him, oh, we want to make a cartoon about you, and he gets excited. He's like, okay, how about a hug?
Well, actually, speaking of, at the very end of this interview, so he shakes my hands, like, hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I had my Superman jacket on, zipped up and everything. I was looking all tough. And he grabs my shoulder, smacks me, like that bro smack. It's like, great jacket. I had this moment of, Mike Tyson just hit me.
Mike
Tyson just Mike Tyson just hit me, and I'm still standing. Hey, that was a good day for me. That was a really good day for me. Mike Tyson Mysteries, it's another Adult Swim Cartoon Network show, so go ahead, go to online to check it out, or tune into Cartoon Network.
And finally, on our list of shows to talk about, I talked to the cast of Constantine, which I am so excited for Constantine. You have no idea. And I will be honest and tell you that I didn't know a lot about Constantine when they announced the show. I knew who he was. I knew he was part of Justice League Dark and the New 52 and everything like that. But I really just didn't know a ton about it. So I did a lot of research. And when I was doing my research, I came across all these articles about fans being pissed because they're pissed that they're saying that John isn't going to be a smoker in the show. And they're saying that he's going to be a heterosexual male instead of bisexual, which didn't take a huge place in the story. But some fans are upset.
Well, it's like any show. We've talked about it with some of the other shows with Marvel and DC. But if you have a huge fan base and you start changing stuff around, you're going to piss some people off. But again, if it has no place in the show, then it has no place in the show. But
well, I mean, I was curious to ask the actors exactly what they thought about it because you're being criticized before they've even seen anything. And I want to know exactly what was going through their mind. And this is what they said.
What is it like joining a project where the fan base is already there, they're very opinionated about every single aspect, they tend to criticize it before they even see what's been made? Is it intimidating or invigorating?
I think it's a bit of both. You know, I think with any character like like this, who's as popular as this and iconic as this, there's always a little bit of pressure, but at the same time it's a challenge and it's exciting, and like I've fallen in love with the comics and I just hope that I can do it justice.
It's a dream come true. It's what it is. Who would not want to go into a project that already have, you know, a fan following? I'm blessed to have a fan following, actually, and people actually love, you know, Hellblazer, and they already know all the information on Zed. So as to approach my character, it is kind of intimidating because people already have what they expect from Zed. But I'm taking a little liberty and bringing, you know, who Zed is to me and in my world of John Constantine and this day and age, and it's a little bit of more attitude because Zed is always sarcastic, so I'm definitely bringing that. I cannot let that go.
Now, the thing that you couldn't see because it's a podcast and not visual, so you had to go on to YouTube to see the interview, but I was so hypnotized by Angelica and her beauty. This is Angelica, I'm going to butcher her last name. It's Celia. And to me, she just seems like a badass comic book version of Sofia Vergara. So the entire time I was just like, what am I talking to?
She was really, really pretty. There's something that has to be said about women and guys, that a guy rocks up out of bed, like runs his fingers through his hair, and you're like, oh God, how do you have that good of hair? It's like a woman walks up and you're like, you can see that they don't have very much makeup on, but you're just like, how? Like, how is that possible?
She just has that personality, and I think it's going to come through in her character, that it's like she said, she's sarcastic, she's a smartass, and she keeps John Constantine in check, so I'm excited to see it.
I know, and you know what? We only have a few more hours until we can actually watch the show.
Now, I also got to talk to David S. Goyer, who you may know from like every other superhero film out there, and with his experiences, I had to know kind of how he deals with the whole criticism thing, and this is what he said.
I mean, it's always a little annoying to be criticized before something's come out, but we're used to it. I mean, before the first Blade film was released, people were knocking it, saying it was going to be a bomb. People were knocking Batman Begins before it came out and casting Heath Ledger as the Joker. And so you get kind of used to it, and you just have to kind of hold your ground and hope that once your product actually gets in front of people that they feel differently and you can win over the audience.
You have to let it speak for itself. You can't go in saying, like, it's going to be horrible, like we're doing with some of the DC movies.
Yeah, and you know what? It is really hard for actors that come in to play roles, like any kind of comic book role, whether it's on Arrow, whether it's on Flash, Gotham, Constantine, whatever it may be, even if it's in the movies. That's one of the most intimidating parts that I think I would find about it, is that, you know, I'm not concerned about me portraying the character, but I'm concerned about what the fans of that character are going to see.
Completely out of the comic book world, but is it Charlie Hummel, I believe, from Sons of Anarchy, ended up dropping out of the role for 50 Shades of Grey because he couldn't handle the pressure, because everyone already has their Christian Grey made up in their mind.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not about it, and every actor has their fan base. Every actor has their fan base, and they bring new fans on with every project that they do. But the really intimidating part is when you pick up a character that everybody knows, or everybody, some people may have read about, and they have this vision of what it is in their mind. And if you can't fit that mold, the people get really, really pissed.
Well, I think Constantine's going to do great, and I think fans are going to like it. So I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm going to have a fantastic time, and I'm going to have a glass of wine, and it's going to be good.
Oh, sadly, that is all the time we have for today.
No.
But just go to youtube.com/beyondthepanels to see all the videos that we have talked about today and all the rest of them that we just could not fit into our show.
There's just so many.
And tune in next week for our special Halloween episode.
And we want to hear from you, so make sure you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and we want to know what the very first movie that ever scared you was, because in our Halloween episode, we are going to give some shout-outs to the best answers.
And here's a little clue from mine. The first movie that ever scared me starred Johnny Depp.
I bet it's Alice in Wonderland.
Close.
Okay.
Close.
Well, make sure you come in next week and listen to our interviews with the cast of Annabelle, Hemlock Grove, and Deliver Us from Evil.
And we'll see you next weekend for our very special Halloween episode, and for you to follow us down that rabbit hole.
Good day and good night.